number one sports site in the world.
Live from the Quicken Loans studios of the Yahoo Sports Radio headquarters. It's Tony D on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Coming with us here on Yahoo Sports Radio as we take you through the night tonight. I am Tony D. Telephone number to join us, 800-777-2907, 800-777-2907. We told you we're going to keep you up to date on what's going on in Dallas. Now I'm seeing a report that a fifth officer has died in this open fire downtown.
Yeah, I just saw that.
We're trying to keep you updated, as I told you, throughout the night tonight. Anything that comes our way, we're trying to confirm it as we go along. But now the reports are, this is all over Twitter, so I just looked over at my television screen and seeing this is updated. And now five cops are dead in the city of Dallas. My heart goes out to that city. A great city, and it's a really, really trying time. I mentioned this earlier tonight. It feels like everybody that I follow on Twitter, and I don't follow a lot of people, but I follow enough, especially sports. It seems like everybody's awake. Everybody's awake watching this, covering this, just to make sure that this ends or this comes close to ending or however it's breaking. But right now, a fifth Dallas officer has died. Again, we'll keep you updated on the latest of this really sad situation. But we do move along, again, with the sports world, 800-777-2907. We've been talking a lot tonight about the NBA, what a good week it's been, or however you want to look at it. It's been an interesting week for the league. I think if you put it in perspective from a PR standpoint, it's been a very good week for the league. How this stuff plays out later, that's irrelevant. But if you're in public relations, if you want your league to be in the forefront, on the front and center, just before we get training camp started in the NFL, before anything really starts kicking off with college football, if you want to get your sport in the headlines, they did a great job with two major stories this week. Kevin Durant to Golden State and Dwayne Wade to Chicago, all in a span of about 4 days. So if you're in the NBA PR department, that is very, very good. All right. I want to play some more cuts from Kevin Durant's press conference where he started talking about fitting in to Golden State. Here's a cut 18. His Durant fitting in with his personality.
I was shocked that those four guys came in to meet me a couple of days ago. Team, won 73 games and the championship before. I didn't think that they would be interested in a player like me because they had so much success. But to see them together, they all walked in and looked like they were holding hands. It was a family. And I can tell they enjoy being around each other. And that was, like I said, that was something I couldn't ignore.
See, I told you. He wants love. He wants that camaraderie. He wants that feeling like they love each other. I love that. Is that the most humbling statement a superstar has ever made in a press conference? Whether it's garbage or a lie or not, was that not the most humbling statement you've ever heard from a superstar? He didn't think they wanted a player like him. That's great. Of course they want a player like you. You're Kevin Durant, for crying out loud. You're a 7-foot guy who can shoot a three. Of course they want you. Here's Durant on the difficult decision to call Oklahoma City. It was tough.
That call to Oklahoma City was the hardest thing I ever had to do in my life. Tears were shed, but this is, like I said, it's a new journey for me. It's testing the unknown, and I trusted. I trusted my gut. I trusted my instincts.
Good. All right.
I always have a problem, not a problem, but it bugs me when guys come out and he's like, it's the toughest thing I've done in my life, when he gave that great MVP speech talking about his upbringing and what his mom had to do. I guarantee you there was a lot of days that were a lot tougher than this one.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I mean, if you want to say, at least think about it and say this was the toughest decision in my career, my NBA career.
Yeah, my professional NBA career. It's not the toughest decision you've ever had.
Yeah, it's just they start throwing out. I mean, he talked about this was the toughest day of my life. This was the toughest decision of my life. But then you look back and what he's gone through in his life, there's been a lot of tougher things for you, Kevin.
And let me tell you, that's okay to say.
But
here's the other thing. A lot of the tough things that we have to do in life, okay, come through no decision, just circumstances that happen, right?
Yeah, right.
If you lose your job and you have to move away because you lost your job to get another job, you have to tell your kids that they have to give up their friends. Like, that's a tough thing, but it was, you know, the circumstance came up and you had to act on it, right? A decision to maybe, you know, I don't know, something in healthcare or something where you decide that you have to do something because somebody in your family got sick or you got sick and you have to make a decision on that. Something that occurs in your life that you didn't control, though, and then you're forced to make a decision. Those are tough decisions. This was the decision you made. You made this. Nobody forced you to go to Golden State. Nobody forced you to do this. You did this. And I'm telling you, it's tough, but it's not tough for long, because the moment you make it and it's done and then you're finished and then you realize where you're heading, you put a smile on your face. He seemed genuinely happy in some of the clips I saw being in Golden State. Seemed genuinely happy. So, yeah, it's difficult to call because you spent a lot of time there. But, you know, it's not like a circumstance fell on top of me and I had to decide. Let's play the Steve Kerr cut. This is now Kerr talking about having four great players.
That was the idea behind bringing him here. We knew, you know, what kind of team we already had. We knew we could get better. And, you know, we lost in the finals. You know, we want to get better. You can't do any better than adding KD to the current crew. And our staff is excited. You know, we're already talking about different ways we can put the pieces together. And it's going to be a lot of fun once we get rolling.
God, why can't we just do this WWE style, right? Can Vince McMahon just write these guys lines so we can have more fun with this? Why can't Steve Kerr go, we have Kevin Durant. If we lose one game, I'll be shocked. Oh, maybe we'll lose on a back-to-back road trip, but no one's beating us in seven games. You know what I'm really excited about? Bling. I'm going to have it all on my hand, every one of the digits, man. As long as these four are here, we're going to just collect jewelry. I'd love to live in a world where we just had this kind of smack talk.
And I wish someone would have asked him, be like, could this team beat your Bulls teams?
Way you see this team right now, do you think it could have beaten those Bulls teams you were on? I would love that.
Yeah,
I would love that.
Just have some fun.
I know everybody is just so nice, and they don't want to cause controversy. But we live in fantasy world in sports. Let's create some drama here. Let's have some fun. Throw down the gauntlet, Steve Kerr. Start talking some smack. You got the best team out there. You're loaded. You're ready to cruise through everybody. Why don't you come out and say? And you know what? One night, just for the heck of it, I'm going to see if we can score 200. I'm going to run, just hit threes. I'm gonna just to see what people will say. Oh, God, I would love it.
The guy I'm really interested to see what happens with him during the season is Klay Thompson. I want to know if when he starts not getting as many shots as he was getting last year and the year before, because he seems like a very quiet, humble guy that doesn't say much, doesn't do much. He's just out there playing his game, and that's it. And then he kind of just goes away. So
what I want to know
is that I'm wondering about.
Can anybody on this team win an MVP? Any one of these guys have a season like Steph Curry where they win the MVP? Or is it going to be so much of shared wealth that it's just going to be like, no, we can't. No one on this team is a true MVP of the league. They're all very good. They're all contributing. So the MVP is LeBron, or the MVP is whoever.
LeBron.
Yeah, LeBron. Trying to come up with another name right
here
that makes sense.
I did too, and that's just
right?
LeBron.
It doesn't work. You know, because you think, like, everyone wants theirs. Everyone's going to want theirs on this team. And don't, you know what? You'll never, ever convince me that a team of superstars are going to be so selfless that they're just willing to just, like, score 8 points a night. Guys want to score. They want to get their points. They want to get, you know, so there's just not enough to go around. So you might have really good years from four guys, but are you going to have one guy be really, really good enough to win an MVP award? I know that may not matter. It may not matter to these guys, but you know what? That's now off the table, because if these guys play a shared game, You're not going to have a one guy emerge as an MVP.
I think with Steve Kerr's offense and the way it's run and the way they've shown it to be run with Steph and Clay and Draymond, I think it's just set up for them all to have everybody have good years.
Everybody
Nobody's going to have that,
yeah.
You know, 30 point. They might all average between 15 to 22.
Yeah, so say goodbye to MVP awards,
right.
but say hello to championships.
Yes.
Well done.
In the end.
All right, coming up next, news of the night. I know we have a sad news of the night, but we'll do some other stuff as well. I'm Tony D. It's Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D. On the third shift.
It's Tony D. with you on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Every night we do this little bit called News of the Night where we go beyond the headlines and kind of find some fun stories to talk about. Some make you kind of angry, some make you know, kind of weird and whatnot. Tonight's news, though, out of Dallas is very, very upsetting. Five police officers dead in an ambush shooting. We are trying to keep you up to date as news comes out, but we do want to continue on with what we're doing tonight. So we bring you the News of the Night where Adam gives us some things to ponder from tonight. What's going on, my friend? What's story number one?
Story number one, former Florida Gator wide receiver and Tampa Bay Buccaneer wide receiver Lewis Murphy went to one of his college teammates' weddings over the past weekend.
Now, let me just stop you right there. I heard this story, and I was hoping you'd have this story.
Yes. So I came across it the other day, and then I forgot to get it for the segment. So I came across it again. I was thankful that I did. When I saw the headline, I thought it was going to be much better of a story. You know, I was thinking. But the story is Lewis Murphy was in Deontay Thompson's wedding, who was a Bears wide receiver last season at one point. And they had the wedding at the Flagler Museum. And I guess there's a courtyard in the museum that Lewis Murphy, he had a little too much to drink. So he went out to get some air in the courtyard and fell asleep on the stairs. Well, the problem is, nobody, I guess, knew where he was, so they all left, and they closed up the museum, and he woke up at about 1:15-ish to everybody gone, the museum black, and he was locked inside.
What a scary moment. Did everything come alive, like in
the
museum?
That's what I was hoping the museum was, you know, like, 3/4 of a mile away from the wedding venue, and somehow he got inside because he was so blacked out drunk that he broke in and then just couldn't figure his way back out because he was so drunk and he was just stuck in there.
What do you do when you wake up stuck in a museum? Do you just tour it? You're like, well, what the heck? I might as well find some lights here and just kind of tour it. Or do you try to go back to sleep and wait till the next morning? What's going to happen to you the next morning when people do arrive? I mean, what? This is embarrassing.
His decision was to break a window to unlock a door to get out. And then he called a friend, which another part of the story I don't understand. He called the friend, and then the friend called 911 so the cops could come and take care of everything. Why didn't Lewis Murphy just call 911?
Why didn't he just call the cops?
Yeah, I don't understand why you have to have a middleman there.
I'm locked in this museum. I'm sure we can find a way to get out of this. You might know somebody at this who runs this. You could wake up in the middle of the night to come get me. I don't need to break anything. I don't need to smash in a window. I think there's a chance to do this.
Yeah.
Breaking a window stinks because then you got to get it fixed. It's
about $1,000 is what the story says. But I was just hoping he was... You know, the venue was close to the museum, but he got inside because some crazy night where, you know, maybe his buddies broke in and left him in there as a prank or something.
That's creepy.
Yeah, it is creepy.
Yeah.
I don't know what I would do.
Creepy. It's like, I don't even want to go downstairs to my creepy basement. I can't imagine being in a museum with like dinosaur bones and mannequins and statues. I don't know. No. I'm hiding somewhere. I ain't dealing with that. Good for Lewis Murphy, though. Former Florida Gator, Tampa Bay Buccaneer, just like Gators ought to do, right? Just like Florida Gators, so ridiculous that they fall asleep in museums. No self-respecting South Carolina Gamecock would ever lock themselves in a museum. Yeah, I thought I'd throw that out there. All right, story number two.
Story number two comes from us, comes from Arkansas. A man was in prison there Northwest Arkansas, was in prison. Somehow he just picked a lock and got out. I mean, just left prison. Just picked a lock and escaped.
The lock of the prison and walked out?
Yeah.
Good for him.
Just he found his way out. He was gone for an entire week. They couldn't find him. They had no trail. He was gone. All of a sudden, a week later, he shows up at a bar very close to the prison, has a few beers, eats a meal, and then tells the bartender to call the prison and tell him that he's there to turn himself in.
Well, first of all, before I give this guy praise and honor, do we know what he was in for? Was it just disorderly conduct or maybe having too much to drink? Because I wouldn't want to do that if he's like murder or something like that.
It does not say what he was in for.
Well, okay. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and say it was probably something nonviolent. Probably something just kind of, you know, all right, maybe he had too much to drink and a little disorderly conduct. Hey, good for you. If they're so dumb that they have locks that you can easily pick and you can walk out. And by the way, not being able to find somebody in a week, I mean, if he's right down the road, you ain't looking hard enough. Like, what is this, Dukes of Hazzard? Like, come on.
I want to know what he did for the week.
Why wouldn't you run to Alaska? Like, why wouldn't you get out of town and go, look, I'm free. I'm leaving. I'm going to be in Idaho. You won't ever see me again.
And how bad, whatever he was doing for that week, how bad was it that you turn yourself back into prison?
You said, that's enough. You know, I want back to prison life.
Yeah, I can't do this. I'm going back to prison.
What is he? What is he, Brooks from Shawshank Redemption?
Yeah.
Where he wanted to go back?
Right.
Oh, my God. All right, story number three tonight.
Story number three, Florida. They continue to just give us great stuff. A Florida pet store owner caught a man trying to steal snakes, pythons.
Oh no.
How was he stealing pythons?
Uh-oh.
He was trying to shove them down his pants.
Oh, I knew you were heading there. I knew that story was heading there.
That's how he was trying to get away with it.
Oh, no.
Who sticks snakes down their pants?
Well, if it's a Friday night and I really want to, you know, hit the clubs, I mean.
I guess.
That's silly. People
are idiots.
People are idiots. I hope that snake wrapped himself around whatever and just said, that's a, you know, yeah, now you know this is dumb.
Right.
Oh, hello. Why would you steal, you know, stealing snakes? I mean, isn't that really, like, okay, if I want to steal like a CD or something or a DVD, like it's stationary, right? As long as I can hide it, it stays hidden. A snake is a live thing. It sounds like that would be very difficult to steal. If it's constantly moving, you can't hide that anywhere. That's what I'm thinking.
Supposedly he's also, this isn't the first time he's tried this, and he's got away with a few, I guess. He's taken a snake before. He's gotten away with a few lizards.
Even lizards, I mean, even though they look like they don't move, they're still live animals that will try to get out whatever compartment you're putting them in. So I would think that these are difficult things to steal.
Yeah, I just, and like.
And can you reach right in and grab a snake at a pet store?
Is it
so open that if it's like, oh, look at that, it's a boa constrictor. Yeah, no, don't worry about it. Just go down there and just grab it. Just go ahead and take it. Or don't, because like every time I go to a pet store, it seems like I would need a personnel person to go get whatever it is I need. Oh, yeah, I'm interested in that lizard. Okay, we'll call Sally over to aisle three and she'll get the lizard out for you.
Supposedly,
I didn't think I could actually do that on my own.
Well, supposedly the animals he did get away with, he was trying to sell on Craigslist.
Oh, very good.
So that makes it better.
Is any paperwork on this snake? No, not at all.
He was taken down by the store owner and placed in handcuff type situation and held until police, and then he was out later on bond that day. So probably came back and tried to steal something else.
Probably like a turtle or something.
Yeah.
All right, coming up, the night in Major League Baseball, including a long one at Wrigley Field. That's all coming up, Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
All right, we go around Major League Baseball. This is where we tell you what's going on in the sport as we get down to the All-Star break next week. By the way, Home Run Derby, like it or do you not like it? I like it. I
like it.
I don't love it.
I mean, I could go without Chris Berman, but no, I like
it. Berman's act's got to change up, man. I like Berman. I know who, you know, I know it is what it is with him. And, you know, I respect his longevity and all of that stuff. But my God, stop with the back stuff.
I like it. I like the new format of the tournament style.
Round robin tournament? Yeah. Yeah. I don't love it. I don't watch it every year. I'll watch it sometimes, but it's not must-see TV for me. I don't look forward to it every year. Some years I go and I don't watch 1 second of it, and there's others I'm kind of into it and I'll watch it.
Yeah, I don't watch all of it. I'm kind of in and out of it. And, yeah, you know, like Todd Frazier's in it this year, and I'm a White Sox fan, so you know I'll watch that and then maybe go watch something else and then come back to it.
So I mean, it seems like it's got a good crop of good young talent. Corey Sager's in it. Will Myers is in it. He's as you mentioned, Giancarlo Stanton is in it.
That's what I'm
looking
forward to.
Adam Duvall?
Reds.
Adam Duvall is
in
it.
He has 22 or 23 home runs this year out of nowhere.
And Trumbo is in it, so we got a very good feel for the home run derby coming up. All right, the LA Angels took down Tampa Bay 5-1. They take 3 of 4 in that series. CJ Cron drove in 2, Brad Miller homered for Tampa Bay. They've lost like 7 of their last 9. St. Louis gets a 3-run homer from Stephen Piscotty and a solo shot from Randall Grichuk. They beat Pittsburgh 5-1. Adam Wainwright struck out 10 in his outing. Toronto defeated Detroit 5-4. Detroit did get the 9th home run of the year from Justin Upton. Castellanos got his 17th of the year for the Tigers as well. He's another guy I haven't really said much of. The Yankees beat the Cleveland Indians in Cleveland by a score of 5-4. Jason Kipnis homered for the Indians, and Didi Gregorius hit his 10th of the season for the Yankees. Ivan Nova got the win 6-7. Aroldis Chapman is 17 save for the Yanks. This was a wild night at Citi Field tonight in New York. Mets and Nationals combined for 8 home runs tonight. 8. Just some of the highlights. I won't list all of them. Bryce Harper did it his 19th home run of the year. Daniel Murphy is 15th. Jose Reyes hit his first home run of the season. Wilmer Flores continues to be hot for the Mets, as Drubal Cabrera also homered for New York. So there you go. It took into Friday morning, but the Atlanta Braves beat the Chicago Cubs 4-3. Nick Markakis homered twice. He had 3 RBIs. Tyler Flowers with the go-ahead single that drove in Freddie Freeman in the top of the 11th. Quick question, and I didn't know this. Was this a makeup game, or is this Atlanta doing a fancy Chicago trip?
No, this was a makeup game.
Okay, very good.
And it just
they
so
played
happened,
the White Sox.
Right,
today.
It just so happened they came, and they both had the off day,
yeah,
so it
why
worked
not?
Out.
Let's make this up and go into Friday morning. Why not? The Minnesota Twins, who are a bad baseball team, pounded out 18 hits in Arlington tonight. They beat the Texas Rangers by a score of 10-1. I didn't see that coming. Rangers held to just 4 hits. Max Kepler homered. He finished with 3 RBIs. The Oakland A's cooled down the Houston Astros a bit. They win 3-1. The Kansas City Royals defeated Seattle 4-3. The Colorado Rockies in Denver beat Philadelphia by a score of 11-2. Trevor Story, our boy, with 2 home runs. He's not in the All-Star home run hitting contest, is he? I don't think so.
I don't believe so.
I don't think I saw his name. I wish he was to capitulate the great story that is Trevor Story. Pun never gets old. He hit 2 home runs tonight. Mark Reynolds also homered for the Rockies. Ryan Howard hit his 12th for Philadelphia. The San Diego Padres shut out the LA Dodgers 6-0, held the Dodgers to just 2 hits, and Melvin Upton hit his 14th home run of the year for the Padres. Drew Pomeranz goes to 8-7. So there you go. A short night in Major League Baseball. A number of teams had the night off, but there you have it, wrapping it up. All-Star break comes up next week. They're going to be finishing up games this weekend, and then we head to the All-Star break in San Diego. I like the All-Star game. When I was a kid, I used to make a scorebook for the All-Star game. I loved it. But you know what? And I think this is where technology is a lot better. I think this is where the fans of today are better. You know, you hear a lot of people talk about this, a lot of old guys, especially people in like the 50s and the 60s who, grew up where you loved a league. You not only loved a team, but you loved a league. So if you were a Yankee fan in the 50s, you rooted for the American League. Or if you were a Brooklyn Dodgers fan, you were a National League guy. Or if you're Pittsburgh Pirates, a National League guy. And then, of course, when the leagues became different, when the DH was implemented in the American League and the National League still kept the pitchers hitting. Boy, that argument was something I heard my whole life, was how much better National League baseball is. And people would say, no, American League baseball is better because the DH, who wants to see pitchers hit? Oh, but you got the double switch and you've got the strategy. And this would go on back and forth. Well, the All-Star game used to have value for that, right? Because this was really your only chance. It was your only chance back in the day to see Roger Clemens of the 1986 Boston Red Sox go up against some of the National League stars of the day, like a Daryl Strawberry. Right, that was the only time that you would be able to see that outside of the World Series. So the All-Star game used to have value. And when I was a kid, you know, like I couldn't watch Mike Schmidt play for the Phillies. I couldn't watch Johnny Bench play for the A's or anything that was going on in the Pittsburgh Pirates of the late 70s. I might get them on a game of the week, but you know, I wasn't going to get them all the time. So the All-Star game was my real only shot of seeing a guy like Pete Rose play, a guy like Johnny Bench play, a guy like Rod Carew play, especially West Coast guys. Are you kidding? Outside of playing the Red Sox a couple of times a year, I couldn't watch them. This is where I think technology has been awesome, is the fact that if you really want to see Mike Trout and you live in Vermont, there's ways you can see Mike Trout living in Vermont. You can buy the package. You know, you can see enough of the stars today. Bryce Harper, if you live in Idaho, you can get Bryce Harper games right on your tablet, phone, television, however you want to digest that information. So the All-Star game does lack that. The All-Star game is not where kids are gathering by the television because they never get to see Mike Trout. They never get to see Bryce Harper. There are ways you can do that. Highlights every night, et cetera, et cetera. So the All-Star game, when I was a kid, used to really pack a punch. It really was a big deal. I still think that the game is the best All-Star game of them all. I think the NBA is very celebratory. It's more about buddies. Yeah, I know I've told this story a few times, but I want to repeat it just to make my point. When I was here at this network in 2013, I was doing a show during the NBA All-Star game. It was a Sunday night. And we had Joakim Noah on the phone, and I asked him a question, and then he went, hold on. Hey, wait up! And then I got to go, and he hung up the phone. We made a joke about that afterwards because it was, my God, it's a party. Like, the whole NBA feeling is, we're just going to celebrate all of us. Yeah, we got to divide into teams, but in the end, we're just celebrating the break. Major League Baseball All-Star Game still means something. I know people will argue whether or not home field advantage in the World Series is a rightful prize, but it still means something. I think they overreacted, by the way. Remember, and this came about because of the tie, I think, in 2002. And, people went, oh, you had the All-Star game, and you built up the All-Star game, and it ended in a tie. So now they want to put some value. I think that is absolutely killing a mosquito with a bazooka. There was no need to go down that road. You could have literally said, hey, look, it's a tie. Very rarely are these games ties. We do the best we can to try to win them in a few extra innings. But if it ends in a tie, we're sorry, but it's rare. We're going to try not to let this happen again. Maybe we'll have a home run derby part two to finish this off. Or maybe we'll do something a little different, to quirky, to end the game. But it ends in a tie. Big deal. They went all nuclear after that. They thought the All-Star game, an exhibition game, ending in a tie was single-handedly one of the worst things that could happen to baseball. So then they went, well, we got to make the All-Star game have some value now. This time it counts. If you want home field advantage in the World Series, you better hope your other teammates in your league pitch in during the All-Star game in July, because if they don't, you're going on the road. Oh, way too much. Too much. You didn't have to do that. Did not have to do that. There hasn't been a tie since. 800-777-2907, 800-777-2907. We'll come back. We'll ask the lingering question, what NBA celebrity now is cooking on the Food Network? I'll tell you next, Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the Third Shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
right, glad you could join us here on Yahoo Sports Radio, taking you through the night tonight. I am Tony D, 800-777-2907. Don't forget, 2 weeks from now, well, a little bit over 2 weeks from now, I think we're only going to have 10 shows left until we reach this milestone. The countdown to kickoff, NFL teams every single night, previewing a team for 32 straight shows all the way to the start of the season. That starts July 25th. Go to our Facebook page, Tony D Radio Show. You can vote on who you want us to do first. Right now, the LA Rams are in the lead with that, with, you know, one vote. So chime in with who do you think we should do first out of the gate. But if you want to follow us along as all the teams we're doing, go to Facebook, Tony D Radio Show, where you can just see our schedule of teams. We're going to be breaking down their schedule, breaking down their offseason moves. We're going to have guests that will talk about the team. I mean, it'll be a really, it's a really good fun preview. And we'll do them every single night all the way through starting July 25th. So that'll be really, really cool. All right. So again, at Twitter, Tony D Radio. I said in the tease, the NBA celebrity that now has their own Food Network show. And of course, that would have to be Ayesha Curry, the wife of Steph Curry, who has gotten six shows called Ayesha Homemade, which will be on the Food Network, which will mix cooking along with scenes of the Curry's life with their two daughters. And so that would mean that Riley is going to pretty much steal the show again. If you were a little annoyed by Riley 2 years ago during the NBA playoffs, enjoy Ayesha Homemade on the Food Network, where Riley will probably be measuring flour and doing all sorts of other stuff. Maybe making a mess, like if she makes cookies, like spilling all the chips everywhere. But apparently Ayesha Curry is a very, very good cook. So this should actually work really well. Apparently she's really, really good. You know, I hope she doesn't work with, though. This person on the Food Network. Do you watch the Food Network by any chance?
Yeah.
I cannot stand, and I don't know why, Bobby Flay.
I'm with you.
I hate Bobby Flay. And I don't know why. If Bobby Flay was on this show, I'd be nice as I could be to him. I would be nice. I'd be like, oh, yeah, Bobby, you know, got a great restaurant, got some. But they're behind the scenes, behind his back, I cannot stand him. I don't know what it is about him on that network. I cannot stand it. He does a show where it's called like Beat Bobby Flay or something Showdown or something. Where like if you live in a town and you make good meatloaf and everybody in the town is like, man, we love Adam's meatloaf. Like there's nothing better than Adam's meatloaf. He's been making meatloaf in this town for 30 years. I grew up on it. It's the same recipe. You know, there's just nothing quite like Adam's meatloaf. It's been real comfort. We had a flood in this town years ago, and Adam made some of the best meatloaf, and we had a tornado come through here, and a lot of homes were lost, and Adam's meatloaf got us through it. It's a real binding in the community. Everybody loves it. Bobby Flay comes in and is like, ah, meatloaf. I know how to make meatloaf. I make it better than anybody else on the network. I come into your town. I'll show you how to make meatloaf the way it should be made. And we'll take Adam's meatloaf and like throw it in the garbage because it's not very good. That's the whole crux of his stupid show. And I can't stand it. And by the way, Stephanie March was married to them. And they got they got divorced. It was like really bitter. I don't know. Something about Bobby Flay I can't stand. Guy Fieri, I don't mind. I don't mind Guy Fieri, but Bobby Flay, my God, I can't stand him. But I think I might have to catch Ayesha Curry's show on the Food Network just so I can see how the Currys live in her multi-million dollar kitchen. Oh, yes, I'm going to be taking these truffles, you know, take out your truffles and scrape some onto this omelet. Now, it should be a very interesting
program. The real question is Riley going to be a part of this?
Of course she is. Of course Riley's going to. Why wouldn't
Riley? She's just going to be walking around, kind of doing what she did at the press conference, yeah. Just doing cute little stuff.
Ayesha Curry is going to be making a cake, right? She's going to be like, well, then you take your flour. Riley, why don't you bring that flour over here? Riley's going to spill it all over the place, like,
and then walk through it and make a big mess.
It's going to be like, now, don't touch the pan, honey. Riley will touch the pan and get burned and cry. It'll just be Riley making a mess of the kitchen. Just like she made a mess of those press conferences back in the day. Shut up, Daddy. What was she said when she would stop talking, Daddy? That was great. My daughter, I told you, my daughter has those emojis, those Steph emojis, and Riley's in it. They gave her emojis when she was dancing. I love the Currys. They should have their own reality show. Do you think the reality show would be fun or boring?
I think it'd be interesting.
Like if they had a reality show, I think it would be interesting. I don't know. Does Steph seem like a kind of guy, if you followed him around with a camera, you'd be like, wow, all the cool. Or would you be like, oh my God, the guy just kind of hangs out all day and does nothing.
Well, I
practices
think,
and kind of just hangs out and be dad.
I think as long as if you're doing that, you got to have Dell. You got to have the mom.
Yeah, you must have Dell. It must have the mom.
And you got to have the mom. If she's not in it, I'm not watching.
His mom is like, she's the best looking NBA yes. mom I have ever seen by 100 miles.
Yes.
She's really awesome.
And then you got, the younger brother, Seth, trying to do his thing.
That would be great. Now that would he's on the Mavericks right. and he's like working hard and he just can't live up to his brother and he's out there clanking threes. Like, I'm just never going to make as much as Steph. This is unbelievable. Oh no, that's be perfect.
So yeah,
hanging with the Currys. Right. You can make a whole thing like that. I'd rather watch that than any Kardashian thing that's on television.
Gosh.
I'd watch Hanging with the Currys.
My wife was watching. It's called, what was it called? WAGs. It's Wives and Girlfriends of Athletes.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it's on E. I think so. And it's basically that. It's just wives and girlfriends of athletes, and all they do is bicker and yell at each other.
Complain,
and
snap at each other behind their backs.
Riding around in their Rolls Royces and...
You
ridiculous.
Know, Martha, you know what makes that dress so good? It's like it's fat on other people, but you make it good. You make it look so decent. For your size, that shirt really works for you. That passive-aggressive stuff. Oh, that's great. Tony D, Yahoo Sports Radio.